The
call
has started.
And I just wanted to thank you all for joining us. We actually have a couple of very esteemed speakers on with us today. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves? John, you want to go first?
Sure. John Gaston.
And we have Tommy Lee here also.
Tommy Lee.
And we also have Renchi Alial-Barrigo on today.
Hi, how's everybody doing?
Great. You're the one I tuned in to hear.
All right. Well, today we're going to be discussing a few different topics, actually. One specifically headed up by Tommy, which is going to be special events, summer camp enrollment, and black belt image. All of them are of equal importance. Of course, with the upcoming summer vacation coming along, I'm sure you guys are all getting prepared to start running summer camps or have some questions about that, as well as special events and black belt image, all of which can really help to, of course, build retention and really kind of even out any seasonal fluctuations that you guys might undertake because of the vacation that's pending in different sports that are starting, et cetera. We are actually going to get started with Tommy, who's going to be touching base on special events, and then we'll go into directly into a question and answer after each section. Tommy, you think you're ready?
Sure. Okay, basically, there's as far as special events, there's two different kinds of special events that you guys can do. One is lead generating, actually three kinds. One is lead generating events, one is income generating events, and one is a combination of the two.
Keep talking.
Did you want me to concentrate more on income generating events, or what do you want me to focus on? What would you guys like to hear about?
I think probably a good idea would be to focus on, with the, you know, it's summer coming, probably on income generating events, Tommy.
I could hardly hear Tommy, by the way. If he's on a speakerphone, that's probably why.
Pardon me?
I could hardly hear you.
You can't hear me?
We're having a hard time hearing you.
You're very, very low.
Oh, I'm on a headset. All right, hold on a second. Let me try to get on the regular phone.
Is that better?
Much better.
Much better.
Okay, good. All right, now it's relaxed, but okay, this will work. Okay, so income-generating events, is that what everybody wants to talk about?
Sounds good.
Okay, basically what you need to do is you need to target. What I like to do is I have basically four principles about what I use. Actually, I talked about it at the APS event a couple of weeks ago. Number one, the event has to benefit the child, the adult, the instructor, and the parent. What I look to do is look into my school where I have the majority of people. For example, number one, if I have an upcoming testing and I have a big group of students, say, for example, red belt testing to black belt or maybe purple belt testing to brown belt, and I have 30, 40, 50 children, what I tend to do is I have a special either a boot camp or a family parent night out event, 4 or 5 hours.
Requested by the host.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay. What I will do is structure it to where it'll be geared toward their testing. And say, for example, I'll have 30 or 40 people come in, or if it's a black belt testing, I'll have maybe 15 to 25 people come in for that special event that pays anywhere from $39 to $99 each, depending upon whether I do it a Friday night or an all-day Saturday event, to get ready for their testing. And I also roll that into my summer camp as well. That's one thing. What you could also do is basically look toward the people in your school, for example. Another way you could target people is people that cannot spar. If people have a hard time sparring or if people are having a hard time doing their forms, you can have a special themed workshop or a special themed boot camp, weekend camp, where it targets those students that you can help them. What that does basically is if someone's having a hard time getting ready for a testing or learning a form, or if they have a hard time with sparring and they don't like it, when you gear those people and you get 20 to 30 of those people coming that night, not only are they going, the parent's going to have a night out, the kids are going to learn what they need to learn, and that'll also increase retention due to the fact that they're not going to be scared about sparring anymore and or they've got their form down, now they're ready for testing. And usually what I'll do is I'll have a five-hour event, charge $39 to $49 depending upon the event, and generate cash that way. The instructor's happy because the students now aren't a problem in class, they're not behind in class. The mom's happy because she's not having her son argue with her about going to karate because he doesn't want to come to sparring night or because he's not ready for testing. And it helps keep the retention as well. Any questions on that?
No. Tommy, did you say you ran, those events usually run, I'm sorry, in duration. I didn't catch that part.
Actually, you can hold it in a couple different durations. For example, if I do a Friday night, I usually will run the Friday night one for between 4 and 5 hours and couple it with a movie.
Okay.
So, for example, if I chose, like I've got a lot of orange belts right now, and they're about to start sparring, and there's a lot of apprehension about that, even though they haven't started yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have an event that's going to introduce sparring. But it's a parent night out, so the parents get to drop the kids off, and they get to go have a good night out. We're going to show a movie as well. But the theme of the event will be introducing them to sparring. So everybody that's looking forward to going to sparring and or the people that are hesitant to go to sparring is going to come to find out what it's all about and get a jump start on it.
Sure.
And
okay.
It could run anywhere from 5 o'clock at night to 10 o'clock at night or 6 o'clock at night to 11 o'clock at night to give the parents a chance to eat dinner, go to a movie, and then come back and pick up their kids.
Okay. Very good.
And for example, what I'll do first is I'll run the sessions in like 30-minute increments. So they'll come in, we'll work on something for 30 minutes, then we'll do something fun for about 10 minutes, then we'll work on something for 30 minutes, then we'll watch a movie. Then we'll come back, we'll review, and then we might do defense, that type of thing. Now, you can do that with any part of your curriculum. You could do it with a bow, you know, for like a weapon or nunchucks, or you could do it for your specific curriculum. So you can really do it with any part of your curriculum you want to. You can also not even have curriculum at all. You can have a fun event, say, for example, a tournament event, parent night out, and theme it to be Xbox or Nintendo night or Sega Genesis night, and have your people pay, you know, same fee because it's a parent night out, but now the kids are going to come up with teams of four, and they're going to have a tournament on who can win whatever the best game is out there now, a fighting game or Super Mario Brothers or whatever the hot Xbox game is. That type of thing. You can run like a tournament and they can win medals or win a game and that type of thing. And you can generate a lot of interest through that. That's just more of a fun event.
Okay.
Or you could do a gladiator night or that type of thing or Olympic night, obstacle course night. So there's many different ways that you can theme it out. However, what I want to do is just have a distinction between a parent night out on a Friday night and a workshop or boot camp during the day like on a Saturday. You know, that one you can theme out, not as a parent night out, but maybe a shopping day if it's near a holiday or just a getaway for the parents, however you want to theme it. Friday nights usually work the best.
I think actually Tommy's ideas are excellent. Is anybody here doing any type of special events currently?
You want us all to just chime in when you ask?
Yeah, I mean, for example, Mr. Crone, are you doing any type of special events at your school right now?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
We've done a couple different things, like Black Friday. We did a parents' shopping day out, shopping night out. Valentine's evening, we did a Valentine's night out. Now, the Black Friday, we had also ran a special on gear during that weekend. It ran the whole weekend. Just the parents' night out. Now, I'm a small school. At that time, I think I had 60 students. In one day, five-hour period of time, I grossed somewhere around $1,800.
That's
so, you know, that was pretty good income for a five-hour period of time running the Black Friday. And we'll do special events where we're doing birthday parties. We've only done a couple of those. That's about it. Stuff like that. We just did a family festival over at Strawberry Square in Harrisburg Saturday. And Monday, we scheduled 8 intro calls from that. So the phone's been ringing off the hook from that. And plus, we're working on doing a break-a-thon right now. We're getting set up for that.
Okay, so I think using special events, like Tommy said, you can use them as either lead generators, which, like you said, would probably be your Strawberry Festival experience, and also the special events that Tommy mentioned, which are more like fun special events or parents' night out, things like that. When you do those, do you think that, which do you think probably makes the most impact, the income generators, or would you say the lead generators? Or are they both the same, would you say, when it comes to success?
As far as what I'm looking for, the number of people?
Yeah, I mean, would you say, during the summer, I mean, my question is, in the summertime, what would you find to be the most important? Do you think the lead generators would be most successful, or really just kind of amping up the number of income generators that you have?
It depends on the school. Like, for me, it really doesn't matter. It's whatever I target, I get. It doesn't matter whether it's during the winter or the summer. As far as the leads go, because if you find like Friday nights and things of that nature to bring children in, there's, as long as you don't pick a holiday where they're going out of town, the parents still want to get rid of them, and the kids still want to come in. So, for example, with that Sega Genesis night or the Xbox night or a movie night where you add obstacle courses and things like that, as long as it's fun and exciting and promoted right, and really, I think that most schools make the mistake of putting up a sign and basically waiting for people to come to the desk and just making announcements versus walking up to the students that you actually want to show up and saying, hey, what are you doing next Friday night? We're having an awesome event. Here's what we're going to be doing. Are you going to come? You know, that type of thing. You can even use your, you know, little email blasts to go just to your own students to let them know versus you sitting there and waiting. The same thing with lead generating events. Instead of putting something up and waiting, or putting an advertisement out and just waiting for somebody to call, you're actually actively out there seeking people to bring into your school. Whether you go to, you know, to a church and give a free 30-minute women's self-defense course or child safety program hosted at your school, so the church actually will put it in their newsletter and notify all the families of this event. So not only are you going to get a lot of advertising to hundreds and hundreds of families, but then you'll get people coming into your school where then later you can follow up with an additional seminar and charge for it and or just get leads to then call back. The other thing that we want to target is adults as well. I have a very, very, very good special events with adults. We probably actually make just as much money doing special events for the adults as we do children. For example, we actually are going to do both. On April 17th, we have Mike Swain coming down. So we're going to have three seminars during the day.
How much does that cost?
Pardon me?
How much is that costing you?
It costs about $2,000. But that's, you know, different people cost different things. What I'll do is Friday night I'm going to have an instructor certification for my guys and for any outside schools that want to come in. And then Saturday we're going to have, during the morning, we're going to have three events, one for kids, I think it's 5, 6, and 7, and then the other one 8, 9, 10, or something to that nature. I don't have it with me. And then we're going to do 13 and up. And then later at 3 o'clock, we're going to have more of a tactical thing where instructors can come and people from other schools for a, like, street fighting, ground fighting. And we're about to promote that by sending out – we've already got people coming in, but we're going to send out an email blast to the schools in the Maryland area and the Virginia area. And then we're going to also mail out some flyers. We're kind of late on that, but I just got back from L.A., so I'm getting a late start on that one. But that'll bring in a lot of people. We did a Chumbra event, you know, the padded weapons,
mm-hmm.
and we brought in about $9,000 on that event for children and adults. But that's a little easier for me because I have a larger school. But still, if you scale down the numbers and you only make, you know, $3,000 or $4,000, that's still a very good event.
I think it's important, too, Tommy, that, you know, one of the points that you brought up, and I'm sure that Allie and John both do this as well, when you speak about getting leads and when you're trying to get attendees for your events, it's something that I think Mr. Brooks and I had actually had a conversation about that about a week ago, about making sure to ask for either the lead or for the attendee. You know, like Tommy had said, it's important that you not just kind of throw something out there and expect people to just take the initiative to attend or to sign up themselves.
Right. We got to. What we have to remember is this. A lot of times when people post up an event, they're hoping for people to sign up and they're thinking that those people are doing us a favor by attending, and that's what I get a lot of people saying, you know, you have a lot of events, you do this and you do that. You know, when you put an event, as long as the event, everybody wins on the event and it's a fun event, you should be excited about telling people how to do it, I mean, to come to it. Just like a child safety seminar, you could put an event, go to one child's class, be pumped up about it, and say, hey, listen, we got something coming up on Friday, it's going to teach your kids how to get away, we're going to have an obstacle course, and just seem excited about doing it. And people will come. But if you just post up something and say, hey, you know, or don't even say anything and just wait for people to sign up for it, you're going to get a handful. But if you actively seek them, just like buddy referrals by saying, hey, who's your best friend? hey, would you like to do a private lesson with him if I get him in here? You know, that's how people are going to be coming in. You have to ask in order to receive.
Does anyone who's on the call think that they have a challenge with asking for attendees to certain events or even asking for leads when it comes to these special events?
Well, we seem to be doing all right with that. Just the only problem is getting more adults in here. That would be the
more.
Only problem.
Getting more adults into your program?
I mean, we do absolutely fine getting a bunch of kids in here. I mean, we just came back from a school where we did an event. Like, they had a carnival going on, and we set up a break a board, win a membership. So they broke a board, and we give them 30 days, $100 off, whatever. But we do great with kids. Just getting adults in here seems to be kind of a problem.
Mm-hmm. We have that challenge with adults also.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of times we target kids. How are you targeting the adults? How are you targeting getting those people in from the fair? From the fair, they don't want to win a membership. What they want to do is they want to have either fitness or they want to learn some self-defense,
right,
as far as a woman goes. So instead of winning a free membership, what they do is they win a free women's self-defense lesson, that type of thing. Or they win, a free cardio program. Or, targeting the guys is a little bit different. You know, if you offer something like, you know, Krav Maga or CDT or something of that nature, or a program similar to that will attract somebody. So the first thing that you have to have is you have to have that attractive offer of wanting them to be able to come in other than just sign up for karate.
Right. Well, we have
then you transfer them over once you get them in.
We have a knife throwing seminar coming up, which I think will have a big impact on the adults, because that seems to be an interest in a lot of people.
I would say that would be interest more of the teen and young adults versus the older adults.
Right.
Unless it's in your school.
Well, like our adult class ranges from like 13 to 55, but as long as we get some kind of adults in here,
because
it's hard to bring an adult into a class and try to sign them up that day when there's only five other adults in there.
Right.
You understand? So.
Right. The other way that I do things is I'll go around and I'll ask questions. Like, for example, you might go up to one of the parents, one of the dads, and say, listen, you know, we have several of dads who are wondering about the different types of programs here at the school. Well, what is something you'd like to see here? What would you be interested in?
Right.
And you go take a poll around the school and find out, you know, as far as regular programs and or special events. Like, I'll go up to a mom and I say, listen, we were thinking, one of the moms asked me about doing a special thing for 3- and 4-year-olds because, you know, the 3-year-olds don't take karate yet. Would that be something you'd be interested in? And they say, yeah, actually it would be. Well, here's what we would do. Do me a favor, can you ask the rest of the moms in this class? I know you know all of them, and let me know if there's an interest here. And then you have one mom in each class go finding out for you, and then if they come back to you, you've got it.
Right.
You know, there's just so many different ways that you can do it, yes.
All right. I think it's
on this call?
Actually a fair amount of people. I think it's also important to note, too, Tommy, that you can really, I mean, I'm sure, and you know, we're going to be actually going on to the next topic in just a minute or so, but you could actually use special events as a vehicle, as Tommy was saying, to get more, you know, the lead-generating special events would be a good way to do that, and as Tommy was saying, by kind of approaching interests that adults might have might be a way to start to bolster those numbers.
Right.
As far as lead-generating events, you can think about the organizations that have the people that you're looking for. If it's women's self-defense, you have a lot of organizations out there with a lot of women. You have to target them. If it's children that you want, there's a lot of those organizations. If it's male adults you want, you got to identify exactly what you're going to offer, find the group, and then go visit that group and offer them something to begin with to be able to come into your school. Just a free 30-minute type of awareness seminar on whatever issue you want to address, and then go from there.
Okay, thank you.
And, you know, just in wrapping up, I know at my school, the special events that my instructor was hosting that were really beneficial in getting a lot of adults, especially adult women, involved in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which, as we all know, is probably one of the more difficult arts to get women involved in, was he would host he started a corporation called One Bound. He would actually host special events where he would have women from all over the community come in for a one day or actually an evening self-defense course, and then follow up by just asking for people to come in, taking their information and having them come directly into a class immediately following, you know, within that same week, within that actual event.
You know, the other thing, if we have time for it real quick, as far as the women's self-defense goes, a lot of women in the beginning want the self-defense, but they don't want karate. So if they come to an event, a free event for 30 minutes, you create the awareness. And then if you offer a close-ended deal, like $39 for a 2-hour seminar the following week, they'll be more apt to come to that because they're not signing up for something long-term and it's very minimal in cost. Then within that two-hour period is your basically intro time to really get those people interested in martial arts and transition them over and then transition them from there. But not only are you making extra income on a special event, but now you're turning that extra income special event into a lead-generating event as well, if that makes sense.
No, definitely.
See, a lot of people even take your free week because they don't want to sign up for a karate program for their kids until you convince them that that's what they need to do.
Right. So does anybody have any questions for Tommy on the topic of special events and generating leads and income with using special events?
You're awesome, Tommy.
Thanks, Chuck.
I know Tommy actually has to leave the conference call a little early today. He's a man of wearing many hats, so he's very busy. Tommy, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. If you guys haven't had
the opportunity yet, definitely check out Tommy's website and check out his materials. They're really awesome. I know that they've been really helpful to a lot of people, especially a lot of my clients personally. So definitely give his stuff a good look.
Okay, well, thank you. And if anybody has any questions, they can email me, and I'll answer it at that point, too. Okay?
Thank you, Tommy.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tommy.
Goodbye.
Take care.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so nobody else had any other questions about special events today?
Can I add to it? You want me to just jump off of that? And
I certainly do. That would actually be fantastic.
Would that be okay with everybody?
Sure.
Okay. Well, this is Ali Alberigo. I'm from Long Island, New York. I own Long Island Ninjutsu Centers. I think that a lot of things that I do in my school, the special events, would be to build that synergy between the parents and the students. I think a lot of schools are missing the boat when it comes to getting that parental commitment or involvement. I think that's a big mistake, and I'm working on that now in my school. We have about 1,200 students, and a lot of times it seems that the parents that are involved with the teenagers and the little kids, whether it be the little ninja class, or we call them our mighty ninjas from 5 to 8-year-olds, they're just not really up to date on what's going on. They don't know what we're doing. They're afraid to get involved because they don't know what we teach. So we're doing a lot of things that bring them into the program. Like we're doing some stuff called parent coaching seminars where we're actually taking the parents and we're teaching them what we do in class so that they can take the kids home and coach them. And then we're doing another seminar, which we call our kick pad seminar. And you might have seen that advertised by Maya, but what we did was we took it and we take a parent and we sell them the program for $24.99. It includes one of the little hand mitts, the square 6x6 hand mitts, and they learn about 15 different drills, and they actually come in the class and we teach the parents and they work out with the kids those 15 different drills so that the parents are actually able to go home with knowledge on how to do it and have fun with their kids and at the same time coach them and make them work harder. And it also brings the martial arts to their house so that now the parents are a part of their training rather than just paying for the training. And we're also doing a set of parent meetings where we're actually teaching the parents how to use what we do in class, like all our different pattern interrupts. We do, as martial artists, we're constantly doing pattern interrupts, getting the kids to refocus, using different mantras, like we're saying, you know, what's the quest? The kids yell out to be the best. What's our goal? Black belt. How do we focus? You know, focus your mind, focus your heart, focus your body. Well, those are all just words until the parents start to see them working for them at home as well. So we're actually teaching the parents when to use the different things that we say in class, when to use the pattern interrupts, and when to use all the different things that we do so it becomes part of their lifestyle. And it's not just that easy for a kid to say, I want to quit, because the parents don't want to lose the tools that we're giving them to become better parents. And we're also doing a different seminar on just parenting skills, you know, parental skills on how to teach a kid, you know, positive reinforcement, how to use praise, correct praise, how to use different things that'll motivate the children rather than demotivate them and get them to be better kids, how to teach the kids goal setting and so on and so forth. And not only are we doing that with the parents, we're also teaching that to our adult classes, teaching them how to use that in regular life situations, you know, at their job, in their relationships, and so on. So all of our extra special events are really geared towards building that synergy and tying the school to the home life and tying the parents to the kids' training and tying the adult training to their business life and so on. Anybody have any questions on that at all? No? Did I lose everybody?
No, actually, I think that's a really great idea. I mean, I know a part of, I'm not sure if anybody else did, and maybe John or Allie can comment on this, if you find a real retention issue with maybe the adults, and that can actually, I think the stuff that Allie's doing can really help to build your retention at the same time as building your adult enrollment.
And one of the other gentlemen asked about adults, getting adults involved. I think that being that John and I just started a consulting site, which we work with, it's called Taking It to the Next Level and .com, and you'll see that a lot of the adults, the schools that are having problem with adults really haven't looked at their curriculum, I think, to see if it's really what adults are looking for. You know, it's weird how adults think. The sad part about adults is that they know everything, and, you know, they don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be yelled at. They don't want to be pushed too far. They want you to push them, but they won't tell you how far they want to be pushed. So if you push too far, they're quitting because they think that you're, you know, too powerful or too demanding and so on. So I think the fine line with adults is to find out what each adult is looking for and be able to work with them, not individually but as a group, and find out what special groups you have, whether they be like the one gentleman's doing knife throwing.
Right.
You know, that might be good for, you know, the ninja crowd, which I do that kind of stuff, but towards the average everyday mom or dad or parent or martial artist that's in there, they might not have any interest in that at all. So you want to try to tailor a few different seminars to the different tastes and likes and dislikes in your school. And then you got to look and see if your curriculum is adult-worthy. A lot of curriculums in the martial arts these days are nothing filled with nothing but fluff. So, you know, a lot of these adults are not looking to spend, you know, 25 years mastering their techniques or learning how to jump 5 foot in the air and do a spinning wheel kick. It just doesn't happen. We got to find out and make sure that our curriculum is set up to maintain and keep adults training. That's the biggest problem in the adult industry. That's why the martial arts doesn't have a huge amount of adults. That we got to look at that and analyze our curriculum, and also look at how we're promoting this within the martial arts and in our school. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. And then the last thing I would like to add on too, as far as special events go, we do a lot of stuff in our school that has to do with outdoor events. So, in other words, they're not always in house. We'll do like we have a retreat where we have a ranch that we go to that I bought. And we bring up 100 people, and they camp the entire weekend, and we do outdoor training, we do archery, they do stealth training, night training, we sit around the campfire and relax. And if you don't have a place like that, you could just go to a campground and do outdoor training. You could do it for the weekend, or you could do it by the day. We also do a luau every single year, which is free to all of our students and whatever guests they want to bring. We have 4 barbecues going the entire night where people are just, you know, hanging out with their friends and bringing in their guests, and we do demonstrations throughout the night. We do bowling nights. We do a paintball training where we actually do some tactical training with the paintball experts in our area, and they actually go through all these scenarios, and they learn, and then they do a paintball game at the end. So there's a lot of cool events that you don't have to do it in-house, but you could also use it as an income generator. You could use it as a student generator. You could use it as a retention tool. Those are all outside the school. Sometimes people just get sick of coming to our schools because it's the same 4 walls, the same mats, the same way of doing things. It just brings a little more excitement to the dojo, to the school. So that's some of my ideas right there.
Yeah, that's a really great way, I think, too, to build your name within the community. People, you know, a lot of times, because there's so much competition in your area, you might just be another martial arts school.
Right.
In that particular area. That's going to be a good way to break away from that norm and be known as a community school as opposed to just a martial arts school. You're a part of the community. You're you know, committing yourself to creating a family atmosphere with all of your students, regardless of whether it's the kids who take class there, the adults who take class there, or just people in the outside environment.
Yeah, and they get to know you better, and then when it comes time for them to recommend their child or their brother's child or somebody in the neighborhood to you, then they'll do that. And it's just about networking, really. The one thing I just want to pose one question to everybody, when they're looking at building up their adult enrollment or building up their enrollment, I wonder is how much time you're really putting into building that enrollment up. Like, for instance, I just met with one of my top guys in my school, and he has 330 students at his location. And after we went and looked at his last 2 months of hours that he put in, we found out that he was working anywhere from 26 hours to 33 hours a week. And when I look at that with the amount of money that I'm paying him, that annoys me enough. But at the same time, I want to know, like, why he's not doing better. And it's really because he's not putting the time and effort into getting the new programs off the ground. In 26 hours, that's pretty much, or even 33 hours, that's really not enough time to teach your classes and build your school. You got to put in a lot of extra time to do that. You got to put the effort forward. And some of us are not really, we're spinning our wheels in areas that are not beneficial to us. So that's one question. I say you should look at your schedule and see what you could do to increase your enrollment, and then set out a planned time every week to just build up that program. It might not happen in the first 30 days, but after you continually keep on putting that time in, there's no doubt in my mind that you guys will grow.
And that's actually, John talks a lot about that too, John, about your scheduling, kind of scheduling your goals into your tasks that you have to complete every day, every week, every month, every year. There's something you have to do towards working towards a student enrollment that you're aiming for, right, John?
Yeah, absolutely. You need to get out there and see, and I think Allie brought up a real valid point very early on in this, is a lot of times we sit back and everything we're looking at is from our perspective, what we've done as the martial arts or what we think that we're doing as a school owner, and you got to get out there and know what your parents or the adults or and what they're wanting, what the kids are looking for in your curriculum. And there's a good book that I'd recommend to everybody. It's called The Art of Profitability, and they talk about the first profit module being that of going out. It's consumer-based, and you need to know what your consumers are looking for, and I think that really works well in the martial arts, is we get hung up as owners of what we've done for years and years or the way that we were brought up, and we really are not in tune with what our membership, especially the adult membership, as Allie was talking about, I think is probably a weakness with the majority of the schools. We're not in touch with what they're looking for.
Absolutely, yeah. It's scary, too, to know that we don't know that. In the industry at whole, we're always wondering why we're not doing our numbers in adults, and we don't have that. We're not looking into the areas where adults are looking.
Absolutely.
All right. Does anybody have any other questions about special events or how to apply those to increasing numbers?
I have a comment on some of the things I do.
Okay.
One other thing I do is Christmas parties, Halloween parties, picnics over the summer, and this is for all the students, their parents, their brothers, sisters, their friends. Everybody's allowed to come. It's no cost. Everybody brings a potluck, their dish. So we have food, we have games, we have a lot of events going on all day long for the whole time. And that really develops a good family atmosphere at the school, and plus it's introducing, you know, that atmosphere to their friends and other, you know, people they know, parents and so forth, that might not come into school on a normal class time.
That's a great idea.
Hey, I got a question for Allie.
Yeah.
Allie, do you do any other outside programs, special programs?
Well, we do tons of them. And do you mean, like, do we do programs in schools and things of that nature?
Like CDT or, you know, any of those types of things?
Yeah, we do all of that. We do CDT and we do the Know and Go program, and I think that that's a great thing. We pretty much are always doing something in our school. We have, in every one of our five locations, we have a special event going on. Spiritual seminars. We have a Buddhist monk comes in every single month. We do different seminars for carjacking, women's awareness. Pretty much every month we find an event that we do. So yeah, we are doing something, and we do CDT and Know and Go as well. But I mean, I try to always incorporate something. Like, for instance, this month we have sword seminars all month long every Saturday. I host a tournament, an open tournament, this month, April 25th. So every single weekend we have a free seminar going on to prepare for the tournament. So whatever we could do to get people involved and make them feel more do that.
Okay. Does anybody have any other questions for Allie on special events?
Okay, if not, I'm going to actually get out of here right now, if that's okay with you guys. So I appreciate having you me on. And, John, I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
And thank you.
Thank you, Allie. Thank you very much for joining us.
Please, everybody, check out the new website that I'm doing, which is called takingittothenextlevel.com. It's going to be probably one of the most revolutionized sites for the martial art industry. So check it out and give me your opinion and tell me what you'd like to see on it.
Definitely.
Okay, have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
You, Allie.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody. I know that one of the biggest things that I think everybody probably struggles with universally within this industry is seasonal fluctuations, whether it be because of baseball or summer soccer or, you know, just school being let out in general. One of the biggest challenges that every school faces is how to keep their numbers at the same or still growing during the summer months. I think, does everyone agree with that statement?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of the things that I know John does very well is keep a summer camp rolling and keep summer programming at a height that, you know, keeps his numbers growing as opposed to even just keeping them plateaued. What I'd like to do is invite John to talk a little bit about that and how he goes about planning his summer camp so that it makes his school remain its success, or continue its success, rather.
Okay. Well, and that's an area that I think is a lot. I've been doing the consulting side of this for some time now, and it always about this time of the year, I'll get a lot of inquiries about how do you grow your school during the summer, what do you do to keep it from being hitting a low peak and dropping in its peak, and some different things. So I've always approached it. All my schools continue to grow during the summer. I don't look at the summer as being anything different than August. Should not be any different than January. As long as you continue, you have to continue to treat your school the same way you would do it in January. You're going to have to pick up different, you're just going to have to approach your marketing a little bit different. So what I want to do is give you four approaches to the summer that I've used, and it's been pretty successful. Naturally, you can expand off these and do a lot of different things. The very first thing that I would recommend to everybody is doing extended hours, staying with your current. The first two things I'm going to talk about are staying with your current program and just extending your hours. With soccer is now in effect here in Illinois. I'm sure it is in other parts of the country. We're going into the baseball season, and we're going to be facing a lot of obstacles with kids. So what we normally will do is anywhere from 2 to 3 times a week, we will offer morning classes, usually anywhere between 9:30 and 10:30. You need to kind of look at your schedule and what worked there. So the extended hours gives some options for those parents who have children in activities. And you got to remember, the other thing that we're going to be fighting this summer is not always that little Jimmy doesn't want to come to karate, but it could be that mom and dad would rather be doing some things outside also and use that as their excuse. So it's looking at your different activities that both children and the adults could be doing that could deter them from making regular scheduled classes. So the first thing I would recommend is take a look at your schedule and see where you could do extended hours so that you could approach that to 2 to 3. The other approach is staying, again, with your current program, especially if you add in the day hours, is advertising a summer camp with the kids being out. And when I'm talking, this is a summer karate camp that's only 6 to 9 weeks long, and I'm not getting into the all-day camp yet. I'm still staying with the, let's say, program. So you're going to offer 6 to 9 week program. For example, we do a 9-week program. We charge $159 for it. It includes the uniform. And they have unlimited membership where they can hit the day classes and the evening classes, whichever ones they want. So we got four Monday through Thursday. There's classes every night. We've got the two classes at it, and then we've also got the Saturday. So it extends that a little bit. Now what we'll do, and I won't get into all that at this point, but when a student comes in somewhere in that mid-time and we're sitting around the second or third week, we want to see how it's going, if they're looking at doing something beyond the summer, and then we try to give them a credit of that $159 down off of our regular program and get them to commit to a regular program. But one of the advertisement tools that you can do is there's going to be, with these kids getting out of school, they're going to be looking, the parents are going to be looking for getting their children involved in something. So you want to make something definitely that is productive for a child to be doing and not just hanging around the house. It's kind of fun, exciting, plus a learning experience for them. So you can do a 6 to 9 week course this summer without necessarily getting into summer camp activity. The third approach that I've started taking about 2 years ago is an accelerated program. And this is something that you have to be comfortable with, because I know there's certain, if you're in a more of a traditional-based system and your school is a satellite or a franchise of that, and you have a different procedures and stuff that you have to follow in accordance with your grandmaster or someone or association, you may not be available to do this. But if you can, we offer an accelerated program. The accelerated program is they meet 3 times a week for 2 hours. And what we've basically done is, some of you may be familiar with rotating curriculum or a block curriculum type theme. We use a very similar approach here. Our curriculum goes on a 12-week basis. So what we've done over the summer is taking that 12 weeks, but we break them down in 6-week increments so someone can actually advance 2 belts up. But what you do is you want to take what's it going to, in 6 weeks, you have to condense a 12-week course into a 6-week course, and that's where these 2 hours intercession type training will come in place of the other. So you can offer this, and this gives your overachievers a chance to step up and advance two belts. And you don't want to, and the thing that I would recommend is you don't want to make this just the money. You have to do it right. You have to stay true to what you're doing. And make sure you take that curriculum and you condense it in so you're staying. You got to take that 12-week and condense it into a 6-week program. Does that make sense to everybody?
John, do you charge for that accelerated program?
Yes. What I would suggest to you too is, and you got to kind of fill out where you're at. I would say whatever your basis would be on a, usually about, I don't want to say not anywhere from 1.5 to 2 times more. So if you're going to run an accelerated program for 6 weeks or for the 12 weeks, you would double what a normal package would be. So if they're on a 3-month program, your 3-month program normally runs 150. You want to make this accelerated program 300 because they're still going to be getting that value of a 12-week. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now,
okay.
If I'm enrolled in your school already, I'm going to be
mm-hmm.
there in the summer.
Sure.
Anyway. And now I want to come into the accelerated program, so I'm paying my monthly tuition or whatever I'm doing. Am I now paying a balance to get into the accelerated program, or is there a whole new?
There's a couple different. My suggestion would be is to go ahead and keep them on their current program and deduct that off of that 300, so that they can do that, and that you don't necessarily want to take them off the billing. Or the long, if they're on a 6-month, 12-month, 24-month, or 36-month program, and take them off that to put them on a 6- or 12-week program, but still charge that rate that you would do for them and give them some type of credit during that period. So if we're talking, if you're $100 a month over the 12 weeks, if they're going to be doing that, then you want to give them some type of credit. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So off of that. That would be my suggestion with that. But you want it wants to be... this wants to become in place of their regular training. You don't want this to be. This has to be in addition to.
So they They come to their regular training, but they also do the 2 hours, 3 times a week.
Right.
They're training a lot.
Well, there's an approach that you can take. That usually most of the people that are going to come into that are just going to stay with the accelerated program. They're not going to come into the evening program. And you could take it where they're coming in the evening program. So now they're paying you the $90 a month tuition in addition to the $300 for the 12 weeks. Because they're getting the additional training. I've seen it done on both ends of the spectrum. So, I mean, you kind of got to fill out what's good for you there, or you want to just say, no, we want you to stay just in this accelerated program for these hours only, because that is a lot of hours.
So if one person's in the accelerated program, then they can opt out of the evening program and not pay their...
I wouldn't let them opt out of it. What I would do is, if in that particular case, is where I would do something where they get some of that credit back off of that other rate. So that they're continuing to be on your billing cycle and into your evening program.
Gotcha.
If I'm explaining that correctly.
Okay.
So those are the first three. Now the first two, naturally, by doing extended hours, or you doing a 6 or 9 week, 6-9 week course type thing, and using that as a marketing tool to keep coming in, because you're going to appeal to a different market at that time too. Because not only are you going to get the people that are interested in karate, but now they're going to be looking for alternatives. For their children to do and keep them productive. And this comes back into that black belt life skill benefit package that you offer. Do they want their children going down the park and just kicking a soccer ball around, or do they want them in a role model instructor in a positive environment that they're learning focus, concentration, discipline, courtesy, respect? It comes back to what Tommy and Ali's talked about earlier, is that you have to approach that market and what is your 6-9 week investment of $159, what's that going to do for that child opposed to them being in some different activity? So the first two things, the extended hour or the 6-9 week summer course that you offer, really doesn't have to make any modifications to your current program other than adding those extended hours on there where you're teaching maybe 2 to 3 classes. So you're looking at 2 to 3 hours additional work a week with staff or with yourself by adding that type of program, but you'll definitely see an improvement in the retention factor of your students during the summer, and you're also going to see a revenue increase because you are going to appeal to a different market out there. The accelerated program is pretty much going to be an in-house type thing. It's going to be your overachievers that are going to jump in that, so that's also a revenue increasing thing. Does also the rapport and the retention there. Now the next one is summer camp. And that's doing the full-blown summer camp. I don't know how many of you are doing that right now. Is there a lot in the room that are doing that?
We're doing it.
Yes. We're doing it too.
Okay. Okay. Is there anybody that's not?
Me. We're not.
Okay. So there's one or two of you that aren't doing it, and everybody else is pretty much doing it. So I can speak probably for everybody that's been doing it. This is, and it's the one thing I always tell everybody, really explore your staffing, your current staffing situation before you jump into a summer camp, because summer camp is the most labor-intensive,
oh yeah,
emotionally, physically, mentally draining time that you'll have.
Oh, you can say that again.
That's kind of funny.
Bring in after.
My instructor, when he did a 6-week summer camp last year, and I actually came in one night to class, and he was sleeping in his office. He was so tired, he was exhausted and sleeping mm-hmm. on his desk.
So on that note, can I ask everybody if it's worth it?
Oh, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, it's. I don't know what you're charged. For example, we charge. We're in the Midwest area, so it's. We're doing $90 for our basic program, $125 for our black belt. We charge $125 a week for our summer camp. So some people might be above and beyond that, and some people may be lower than that. We started doing the promotions of our summer camp back in the first week of February.
Now, are you doing that for the whole day? How many hours a day are you doing your work?
Well, that's an interesting thing, because there is things that you want to watch out with legalities. We've already had, most of you are going to have, in Illinois it's called the Department of Children and Family Services. So there's a fine line of you crossing from being a martial art activity and crossing into being a daycare. And we've had that challenge already for the simple fact that our after-school program and reputation took some people away from a day camp, and they filed a complaint, and we had to deal with that. And naturally, legally, we were able to deal with that, and it didn't do any detriments to that. But the approach that we take on that is that it is a martial art camp, and the core hours are from 9 to 3. However, we have early drop-off as early as 6:30 a.m. and pick up as late as 6. So we advertise it that it's a martial art camp that is from 9 to 3 with two snacks and a lunch. Now, we usually alternate every hour with physical activity back to some type of mental or reading type activity. So, for example, we could be doing martial art classes, fitness classes, yoga classes, kickboxing classes, kicknastics, and then we may alternate that in with arts, crafts, worksheets. We have a Success Warrior program, so they have power. A lot of things like the homework assignments where they do the being a black belt at home type things. Reading time. You can work out something with a local library or something where they do reading time. They can do other outside activities where they have a game, movies, different things like that. We do that Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays.
You do academics at all?
We try to avoid that just for the simple fact of the legalities of it.
Right.
I mean, if you're doing it, I would definitely stay with it because it is a push. Legality-wise, there's a boundary that's being crossed there. So, and we're a little more sensitive right now to that just because we had eyes on us.
Right.
I mean, we had them literally come in here and tell us that they were here to shut us down.
Ouch.
So, you know, we're a little careful on how we do that. But we beat all that. We have an exempt clause from the Department of Children and Family Services right now. As long as you stay as and can prove that you are a martial art activity, constantly doing life skill benefits for children, you'll usually get around that. But there are some key things, and we won't have enough time to cover a lot of those. But
okay.
I would say, yeah, academics would be good.
Can I just make a comment real quick too, John, actually,
sure.
From hearing what Mr. Brooks, when he asked if it was worth it. One of the things to keep in mind too, and John had actually just touched on this, is that the time that my instructor did it, he was the only person running that camp. That doesn't mean that you have to hire staff members. If you don't have the overhead to hire staff members, that's fine. A lot of it can be done through your leadership team. So that's important to keep in mind too. And when he did it with staff or with voluntary leaders coming in and helping him out throughout that summer camp,
mm-hmm.
it was absolutely by far one of the most lucrative things he's done, and it also was a very simple task to complete throughout, you know, the day.
Sure.
So they're volunteering for that? I'm sorry.
Joanne,
but he has a few senior staff members who are unpaid, that they just are people who have been with him since they were children and they're now black belts. So part of their requirement for their training to continue to be able to train with him is that they have to put in a certain number of hours at the school every week. A lot of those kids are high school kids, so or just graduated high school and home on break from college. so that's part of their requirement, is they would come in during summer camp and give 2 to 3 hours a day to kind of alleviate a lot of that work for him, and it went very smoothly. So.
Sure. And I would strongly suggest, as I started this, this is something, there's two approaches. You do not want yourself working on that full time. You are going to have to put some time in on it. And try not, if all possible, in a perfect world, you should not be working on a regular basis in that summer camp, nor should your main evening instructor. Because if you do that, emotionally you're going to drain that person who's got to have that energy at night to keep those kids motivated on the floor and continue your program to be good. I've seen a lot of schools where they'll go into this, and they go into it with the head instructor and the two people that are mainly in the school doing this, and then what they do is they start losing that retention in their evening program. And the most common thing that you see with this is come September, their tuition check or their income is usually $4,000 to $5,000 less than what it was when they went into it, because they concentrated so much on that summer camp, they lost their regular program, and they had to build that back up. And it doesn't take real long for that to become a cycle. I have a friend that does that every year. They repeat a cycle. They do really, really well. They get up to a certain point by March, April, and then come June, they start dropping because they totally survive on that summer camp. And then come September, they're behind, so they start catching up. November, December gets a little rough, as we know in the business. Then they kick it in January, February, March, and guess what? The cycle starts again. And I've watched this person do it for 3 years straight. So I would suggest to you, ideally, is to have two additional staff members that could do stuff with that summer camp, depending on how many kids you have. I mean, if you're having small, for example, we're targeting 25 children. Right. And 25 mm-hmm. children, and this goes back to, Mike, you were the one that asked about, is it worth it?
Yeah.
From a financial standpoint, if you can turn around and we're going to do 11 weeks, we're looking at 25 people at $125 a week would be bringing us $3,125. So you're looking at over 11 weeks making $34,000. So it's definitely worth it from a financial standpoint, but then how much could you go ahead and turn around and you could pay two of your teenagers or two of your younger adults or somebody that doesn't have a career over the summer, get some of your junior or seniors in high school that are also brown and black belts, very qualified to be with that. Naturally, you want an adult also with them when they probably go out and do field trips, which I'm going to come back on. But even let's say even if you paid that $12,000, which would be probably a high because you wanted to keep about 25% of your income going to salaries. But you could walk away with a $24,000 profit off that by letting someone else run your camp. So, but then again, you got to build those numbers up to get that. We started advertising it in February. We're at 23 right now that are signed up for full 11 weeks, and we have one or two people that are doing just one or two weeks, isolated weeks. We do the schedule that I talked about earlier. Was that what we offer on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays? Tuesday and Thursday, we do a martial art class at 9:30 and 10 o'clock, and immediately after that, it's our field trip day, and we go out for 3 hours. And we there's a couple approaches. You can use your own vehicles for this if you have 15 passenger vans, depending on your numbers. If you are going to use your own vehicle, check with your insurance company on this and find out what that is. You may be better off of trying to subcontract that out with a busing company. And I think a busing company that talked with us, I want to say, was charging somewhere around $30 an hour on a two-hour minimum. Well, naturally, we're looking at about 3.5 hours when we do a field trip, or 3 hours. That's why we cut that down to 2 times a week, where I know other people will go out and do field trips every day. And you can do stuff like that. You can go out and make hikes and different things like that. So summer camps are with it, but the biggest thing that I always say to everybody, and you still really have time to start doing this if you have a large student base, it's not too late. It's very close to being very late in the game. But if you get on it, I think you can advertise. I'd be more than glad to send somebody information on what we use as our flyer to promote it and different things like that, and what we're doing and a kind of a tentative schedule. So it's still time to do that and get out there. But you normally want to start something like this around February, where you start working the promotion of it and talking to your people, especially if you have an after school. Those of you that are doing the summer camp, is this a feed off of your after school programs? Or is this just, or do you not run an after-school program, just doing a summer camp?
We are in the process of starting up an after-school program. We're just looking into it right now.
Okay, so you're going to use your summer camp to probably feed your next year's after-school?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, and everybody else that's doing it, are you pretty much running after-schools, letting us feed into your summers?
Well, that's kind of like a separate program for us. We just advertise the camp. I do it in school, in-house.
Okay.
At all three locations, but... I really, by the way, I'm understanding what you're saying. I don't think we really tie it in.
Okay.
We advertise for the camp for just out in the public and also in-house.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Comments on your... Let me ask you this, because I know we're right at the 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock spot, Eastern time. Let me just open it up and say, does anybody have any questions on anything that I may not have touched on that you had specifically or wanted to talk about on summer camps?
Well, I got one question. Student-teacher ratio.
Mm-hmm.
What's your comments on that?
I would probably, we want three people when we go out. If we're running 25, we want probably have one per eight when we're out doing field trips. If we're in-house, I think you can probably do 1 to 10 to 12.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you had 25 kids, we could probably get by with two staff members, run them in-house. I would definitely put additional people, especially if you're going to start doing where you're going to swimming trips. Like, we'll do swimming trips, roller skating, bowling, hiking, the zoo, go-kart racing, some different things like that. So I think liability-wise and for safety and also to maintain some type of order when you're out in public and keeping that image out there when you with those kids who, and I don't know if you're wearing summer shirts or not that advertise your school, but you definitely want them to act like the future black belts, and the black belt image is what you as your product sells. But,
right.
Ratio wise, I would say you would probably want one per eight when you're out on a field trip, and you know, in house, I think you could probably get by with doing two people for 25.
When you go on a trip, too, you can also get parent chaperones, which means you could take half of your group on a field trip and leave half of your group at your center and have parent chaperones to cover the kids who you're taking with you and still have your staff members at the
school. Yeah, and I know schools that do that, especially if you get larger. Now, you got to remember, I'm talking, this is our first year on running this school on a summer camp. We've done this with the other schools. If you get into 40 or 50, you might want to split that, and you might want to make the additional investment where maybe it's Monday and Wednesdays are your age-specific. Maybe it's your 8 years and above go on the field trips on Monday and Wednesdays, and then your 5 through 7 or 5 through 8 are the kids that go on the field trips on the Tuesday, Thursday. So, you mean, there's a couple different options. And a lot of times you can talk to mothers who may not have their children in that program but would be willing to be a volunteer for swim day, and their children, in lieu of that, what you do is for them to come along with you as a chaperone. Maybe you pay the child's membership for the year to the pool, or that they go along. So we've done that a couple times, too, as the program grew, of getting a parent involved and in lieu of giving their child swim days on Fridays or whatever day, is it that they'll chaperone in lieu of us doing that. Most moms want to hang out at the pool. So you can find just different things like that you can do, too. And that could help you with that ratios. The ratios that I just said, those of you that are running the camps, do those sound pretty much in line with what you follow?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I go with the 1 to 8 pretty much on anything I do.
Okay. Yeah, when you're inside, and I stretch it a little bit, trying to keep the labor costs down, but, 2 to 12... Is a stretch of it, but again, that's you're pretty much in house, and you can keep your group split up by that. And your two instructors can pretty much run that. But definitely, I would stay with the 1 to 8 when you're outside. Any other questions?
When do you for the summer program? Your number two here, the summer program for 6 to 9 weeks program. When would you start advertising for that?
Now. Yeah, I would definitely do it now. We got a call from the community, Park and Recreation Community Center here today about advertising with them, and it's actually goes out to the school district. All the kids get it, and it's a summer issue for the community, showing what's going on for the summer so parents get some options and alternatives. So we'll naturally advertise both angles. We're going to advertise a 6 or 9 week course that they can do and also call us about our exciting summer camp
where your children are. We're going to make your children champions of life, and for 11 weeks, it's a fun and learning experience this summer with unmatched life skills. So, you know, try to give that a very positive, productive environment that can get them in there. So I would definitely start getting something out right now as soon as you can. A lot of it start in-house, too. Okay. I mean, you could do something briefly, and I think Tommy touched on this, and it's so true. It's so true that we hang up flyers in schools. I know I've been guilty of it in the past, and then you can't understand why you only got two people signed up for it. Really make those announcements at the end of each class. Get out there with a clipboard and work the lobby and talk to parents and say, you know, we got this coming up. What are you guys doing this summer? Would this be something that you're interested in? Here's where we're going. So I would definitely start with that and, get some advertisements going with that. When did your school, the gentleman that just answered that question, when is school out for you?
Late June.
Okay. See, we're talking late May here. So I don't think you could be, you probably got some ample opportunity and time to use there. I wouldn't wait, though. I mean, it's planning is the key. Any other questions?
No one else has any questions about summer camp? Is everyone planning to do a summer camp or perhaps thinking about it now?
Yeah, we've already got ours scheduled and advertisements are out, and we've got a lot of people already calling about it.
Well, we're ready to go.
Good. And I hope, and please take it. I always want to do everything very positive. Don't take it that I was discouraged anybody. What I wanted to do was make sure that when you did this, you approached it from an educated standpoint. Because I've seen so many people just jump in to do a summer camp for revenue, and it's so labor intensive. And it can actually end up you spending so much time on that. You're not building your business during the summer months. And when I started this, I said, you need to continue as the owner of that business in removing yourself as that instructor all the time, but staying focused on growing your business during the summer months too, so you don't hit that peak, and also not burning yourself out or that head instructor and losing potential retention with the other students, the existing students that you have. So that's my only thing. It's very profitable. It can be a great experience. It can grow your program. And definitely, as we know, we're in this business. It's a productive, positive environment that we can do for the children in our community.
Does anyone else have any other questions? I actually just want to touch base. I know we're about to wrap up the call now, but I just want to kind of talk for a second about some important things to take from today's conference call. One is that, and John can tell you this firsthand, that any successful business is run successfully because of organization, planning ahead, and sticking to your goals and making tangible plans to reach those goals. One of the things that I know that John does really well is to set goals for himself and set tasks to reach those goals. John, if I may just ask you a really simple question.
Sure.
How important was your mentor to you in developing your school, would you say?
You cut out just a little bit there, so can you repeat the first part?
Yeah, I think we have a little bit of background noise going
yeah.
on. I'm just trying to impress the point that a lot of times when people are starting or planning some ventures within their business, one of the things you were talking about is doing it in an educated manner.
Sure.
Taking advice from people who have not only done it successfully before, but probably have failed at it at some point also.
Sure.
Having a mentor or people to advise you, I would think is pretty important. And I was just asking, I mean, I'm sure at one point you had a business mentor that
sure.
really helped you to develop your skills as a business person,
sure.
am I correct?
Absolutely. And I think it's real key. And very seldom will you find anybody in the industry that's doing really, really well that hasn't used one or is currently using one. And, you know, I'll give you an example with Allie. I know Allie still uses mentors himself as well as I do. Plus, there is what we call a mastermind group of friends and stuff that get together and say, this is what we're exchanging, this is what we're doing. So I would definitely say that that's a very key. We reach out all the time and say, hey, I'm getting ready to do this, this, and this. And there's like four or five very good friends that I have that are very extremely successful that I'll say, hey, we're getting ready to do this and this and this.
what kind of results have you guys seen with this? Is there anything
right.
that you think I might be missing? So, you know, never get so much where you think it, that it always has to just be you. It's about making your business successful, reach out for who's out there, and plan, and do things very educated and planning things. Just, you know, it's not one of those things you want to see a commercial one day and say, oh, we're going to implement that, and you throw it on the schedule, and it's in your program by 5 o'clock, and you have no clue what you're going to be teaching. And the worst thing to do, as I always say, is to do something and get the response and then not be prepared to handle that response.
Right. And the reason I bring it up is because the people who are joining us today on this conference call are part of the select few that are really interested, obviously, in learning from other people who have gone down, you know, bumpy paths before and come out on the bright side. You know, and taking that wisdom that they can impart is obviously very important. You know, in this industry, I find a lot that people are willing to advance in their training, in their physical training, and not really take advantage of the business education training that's out there. So, you know, first I want to commend you guys for all joining us today on the conference call and for really taking advantage of this one of the services that APS offers. I also want to you know, really encourage you to looking into getting a mentor. I know John Geeson has his success coaching plan, which, you know, not just for a shameless plug, but I've seen him really help out a lot of school owners to really develop the goals that they have in mind and set a really strict regimen of tasks to reach those goals, which is really imperative. Just looking at summer camp alone, if you haven't started planning for one, or a lot of times people will have the idea to plan for one but start it too late, and then they end up scrambling and become disconcerted with the actual task of completing a summer camp. So that's just one example. You know, you can, of course, if you haven't ever spoken to John before, you can always contact him through APS. And, you know, again, I really want to thank everybody for joining. And just make sure no one else has any other questions.
Very good.
No other questions? Okay, one more encouragement from you guys. I need you guys to make sure you're suggesting things for future conference calls. You know, much like Allie and Tommy and John all said, with, you know, knowing what your consumers want. We need to know what you, I mean, I'm in touch with martial artists every day, and not enough do I hear what they're looking for or what areas they feel are challenging so that we can provide them with some really great ideas on how to fix those areas or even approach new areas. So if you ever have the opportunity, if you have a spare second, I really encourage you to shoot an email to consulting@apsfinancial.com. Let us know what you guys would like to hear in a future conference call, and we will, you know, honestly get to that. We will address it 100% and make sure that that's something that we take up in a conference call. Any other questions from anybody?
None from me, Joanne.
No, ma'am.
Okay, that sounds like a big no. Okay, well, we're actually going to be having our next conference call on the first Wednesday of May. I don't have that date offhand. Unfortunately, my calendar is in front of me.
It would be the first Wednesday of May.
It's the 5th.
Yeah.
The fifth. Okay, great. So we're going to be, you know, I'm looking for suggestions. So if somebody has a suggestion of what they would like to go over, I know we missed the black belt image, which we will focus on in a future conference call. Want to thank everybody for joining us again. And if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact the APS Sales and Consulting Department.
All right. Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you. Right. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Good luck, everybody.
Thank you.